Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. This is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to hip-hop, soul, rap, and R&B music. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to all of you who are checking in on YouTube as well. You see the title. So I have to ask the question of you. Do you remember when BET was dope? I mean, like, really, really dope. When BET was must-see TV. I came to this idea or this concept for this particular episode really for two reasons, or two things that occurred to make me think about doing this episode. One here recently was the recent passing of Ananda Lewis. As many of you know, Ananda Lewis passed away. I think she was 52 years old. She's most recognized for her role in entertainment with MTV, but she got her start on BET with the show Teen Summit. Teen Summit was a show that was strictly for, you know, teenagers. And a young 12 Kyle found himself tuning in every Saturday to watch Ananda Lewis do her thing on that show. She was smart. She was intelligent. She was beautiful. Very talented. And she will definitely be missed. The other thing that made me think about doing this episode was here recently at the time of this recording, BET just recently celebrated its BET Awards, the annual BET Awards that was hosted by comedian Kevin Hart. Full disclosure, I didn't watch the BET Awards. I have not watched the BET Awards in years. It's not so much of a personal boycott. I'll be honest, I don't watch BET at all. There's really not much that I could tell you that I know for certain that appears on that channel, because I quite honestly, I don't watch it, and I haven't. And it's because it's no longer dope. And I'm not just saying that as someone who is, you know, an old guy hating from the sidelines. It used to be something very, very special. And it's no longer special, at least not in my eyes. And to a lot of people will agree with me with this. BET, as many of you know, or maybe you don't know, stands for Black Entertainment Television. BET got its start when it was founded by Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson founded BET, I want to say, in like 1980. I don't remember getting BET in my house until maybe late 1981, early 1982, because we didn't get cable in our house until 81. So somewhere between late 81 and 82, we got BET. And for me, growing up in Florence, South Carolina, BET was everything, because it gave me a chance to turn on the TV and simply put, see people that look like me. BET was must-see TV. It was something that, it was a channel that I would watch every single day. There wasn't a day that you didn't watch BET for many of the various programs that they had on there. Notwithstanding a gospel program called the Bobby Jones Gospel Show that ran for all I know, Bobby Jones Gospel Show probably still comes on BET every Sunday morning. But listen, when the TV was turned on Sunday mornings when we were on our way to church, my family, in my household, my mom and dad made sure that you know, Bobby Jones Gospel Hour was on TV, and that was on BET. BET is a far cry from what it used to be. So let me tell you what it used to be when it was dope. Do you remember when BET had news? And it's funny because me and the homie King Germ, shout out to Germ from Pod and Saved Our Marriage. Make sure you check out his podcast every Friday. He does a great podcast with his wife, Queen Germ. But Germ and I were talking. We talk every, if we don't talk every day, we talk every other day on the phone. And he reminded me, he was like, man, remember Ed Gordon? Ed Gordon was one of the feature news reporters from BET, and Ed's still alive. I don't know if he's still doing news or not, but Ed Gordon was the news anchor in 1988, and it was a pleasure to see nightly news at 11 o'clock without fail, and it was national news that dealt with Black people and our issues and things that involved us. And occasionally Ed would sit down with, you know, controversial artists or entertainers or political figures and do very dope, in-depth interviews. BET, man, was special. I mean, again, there was no other place in the world where you could get entertainment and news in the same on the same channel. Not like this. Not like this. It was only BET, and this went from, you know, its inception in the 80s all the way up until the better part of the year 2000 when things changed. And I'll get into that in just a second. BET also offered sports. As a young kid, I remember the BET HBCU Game of the Week. Now, HBCU stands for Historically Black Colleges and Universities. So each week BET would show a game of the week. Sometimes the games would be shown live. Other times the games would be shown on tape delay. I was never a fan of tape delayed games, but sometimes based on when the game happened and whatever programming BET had that particular day, maybe they couldn't broadcast the game at 1 o'clock because there was some type of show or infomercials that they had to run at 1 o'clock. So they would run the game, I don't know, maybe at 7 that evening. But I remember as a young kid watching a school like Mississippi Valley State. Mississippi Valley State had this quarterback that was like all world. His name was Willie Totten. And he literally, me and my friends used to say, he would throw the ball out of the screen because he would drop back to pass and he would throw the ball so high that the cameras couldn't even follow where the ball was. And the ball always landed in the arms of this receiver who wore number 88. And he was sweet. He was bad. The guy's name was Jerry Rice. That's right. The all-time greatest receiver of all time. Arguably one of the greatest NFL players of all time. He got his start right there. And I saw him for the first time on my TV watching the BET College Football Game of the Week. And as a kid, I remember saying, man, I would love to go to a school and be playing on TV and get a chance to play for the BET Game of the Week. Honestly, that was something that I wanted to do. And lo and behold, by the time that I became a senior in 1991, graduated, and then went on to South Carolina State University, I would get a chance to play in a BET Game of the Week game. And this was, again, this was long before any of this wasn't the internet era or streaming or anything like that. You know, my school now, South Carolina State University, I'll give you an example. I saw every game that we played last year on TV on ESPN. I would have chopped my arm off when I was in school to do that, but at least I had the opportunity to be seen on BET. And we played a couple of games on BET. And there's a difference between playing on ESPN and playing for BET. Back then, that was everything. And, you know, ESPN at that particular time in the 80s and 90s, they weren't coming looking to broadcast a Black college football game between South Carolina State and North Carolina A&T. But it happened. And I'm thankful for it. But as a kid, to be able to see Black colleges and the band, they all, and here's the thing, folks, if you know anything about Black colleges, particularly during football season, in a football game, they were always going to show the bands. So no matter what, they had a quick, very brief halftime show, but you always going to get some glimpse of the bands. And so that was good for recruiting for the bands and recruiting to get black kids like me who watch BET to go to HBCUs, which we eventually did. But yeah, the HBCU sports, I can't really remember. I mean, at times they would have basketball games on, but it's pretty much basketball and football, mostly football. But from time to time, you see a basketball game on TV as well. But BET sports was dope. Do you remember when BET was so dope that they aired a show called Video Soul? If you've been following the podcast, I did an episode about a year or so ago at the time of this recording about Video Soul. Shout out to the great Donnie Simpson. Video Soul was everything. It was must-see programming. It was to the point where, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Video Soul came on at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would set my VCR, shout out to the VCR, to record Video Soul so I could see who was in, who was being interviewed, and then watch the videos that were showing in between. And you got to remember, I mean, this is the 80s and the 90s. There was a lot of great soul music that was being played on TV, and there were a lot of great and dope videos, and all of that was on BET. And that was the time where BET was so dope. So shout out to Video Soul, Video Vibrations, Caribbean Rhythms with Rachel. Shout out to Rachel. I saw Rachel about a year or so ago, and she still looks the same. I mean, like, well, I saw her on a FaceTime, but that's another story for another day. But anyway, she's still beautiful. I mean, like, it is crazy. And of course, if you're going to talk music, you got to talk about Rap City. Rap City, shout out to all of the hosts, the mayor, Chris Thomas, who used to do the little shoulder shimmy. Joe Claire, shout out to Joe Claire, Big Les, the lovely Big Les, and Tigger. Who could forget about Tigger in the basement? Rap City was my childhood. It was my teenage years. That was the only thing that I know that I consistently watched on TV. I mentioned recording Video Soul. While I made sure that I recorded it up until the time that I got home to watch Rap City. And while I was supposed to be doing my homework, I was sitting there watching Rap City, and it was everything. All of my favorite artists appeared on either Rap City or Video Soul. All of them. There's not, the only artist I think that I don't remember appearing on Rap City or Video Soul was Michael Jackson. I think he's the only one. I don't know that Donnie Simpson ever interviewed Michael Jackson. I could be wrong, and maybe one of you could tell me, but I don't think that he ever did. I don't think that Mike ever came on. But other than that, I mean, like, any and everybody that you could name, from, you know, Tupac to Biggie to Babyface to New Edition to Lionel Richie, any and everybody in between, they sat down with a host or two from BET. That's when BET was dope, man. They had Rap City, they had Video Soul, they had Video Vibrations, Caribbean Rhythms, for the Caribbean family and friends and people who were into that music, and culture. It was a little bit of everything, man. BET was so dope. I remember Joe Claire getting the final interview that Biggie ever did, the sit down interview that he did with Biggie. That was the last TV interview that Biggie ever did before he was tragically murdered. And that video, they shot it when they were in L.A., when Biggie was in L.A. right before he was tragically murdered. But I mean, like, the hosts were always dope. They were engaging. They made you feel like you were in the room with them. When Rap City transitioned to Tigger in the Basement, listen, everybody stuck around, or at least wanted to be. Anytime Tigger had somebody in the basement, you wanted to see them freestyle. And for the most part, most of the artists that came into the basement, they freestyled. They didn't go in there with written rhymes, because here's the thing, Big Tigger could freestyle himself. And there were some of your favorite rappers that went in there and actually got beat by Tigger when it came to freestyling. But, you know, great performances. I would suggest, if you're hip hop fans, just go look up Basement Free, BET Rap City Basement Freestyles on YouTube. You will be there all day because there's so many great episodes of that. And then obviously 106 and Park came. 106 and Park kind of pushed Rap City out of the way. By the time it started moving Rap City out of the way, Rap City was still dope, but it was kind of, you know, slowing down a little bit. Tigger had left. And I'll be honest, once Tigger left, I remember the hosts and stuff that came after Tigger, but I wasn't really checking for them dudes like that. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. So, but 106 and Park, particularly when they had the host, AJ and Free, they were dope. And the host that hosted after them were dope. I remember Bow Wow on there, Terrence J, Rossi, all of them. 106 and Park became the rival of MTV's TRL. Around that time, somewhere around 2000, was when everything stopped. Everything changed. BET, as we knew it, changed because BET was sold by Bob Johnson to Viacom, who's the parent company of CBS. And from that point, you saw things change. You really did see things change. Not necessarily for the better. It felt like in some ways that BET was MTV light or MTV dark, if you will, because Viacom at that point owned MTV as well. And so in doing it, I understand why Bob Johnson did it. I mean, he was able to, you know, quadruple his worth. He then, after that sale, became a billionaire. I want to say he may have been the first black billionaire in this country. If he wasn't the first, he was one of the first. And so I get it. I understand it. I didn't like it though, because, and I think at that time BET was housed in, DC for all these years. And then they had to move from DC. They moved their major studios from DC to New York City, and BET just had a certain feel in DC. It looked and felt differently once they got to New York City. And like I said, things changed. Things changed. I don't think they changed for the better. The programming was different. And BET at this particular time wasn't without controversy. I remember distinctly when the late, great Coretta Scott King, Dr. Martin Luther King's wife, passed away. And BET chose not to air her funeral on the air, which looked crazy. And they caught so much hell for that, because like, if you're BET, how do you not show Coretta Scott King's funeral on TV and you're showing like infomercials or something like that? It was just crazy. So they caught a lot of flack from that. And then BET ultimately split, and they created other programming channels. You know, it's BET Jams, BET Gospel, BET, what is this? It's something else like BET International. There might be a BET Canada. Hell, I don't know. They could be a BET Surfside, West Side, East Side, North Side. I don't know. By that time I had checked out. So I understand business. I understand why certain things happen. But I think that the sale of BET was ultimately its downfall. Again, Bob Johnson got paid, but I think in the long run, it didn't benefit the company. And then that kind of fast forwards to where we are now. As I mentioned, you know, the BET Awards has been their crowning achievement, I guess, or feature, if you will, over the past 10, 15 years, or maybe 20 years, probably, maybe longer than that. But it's just not the same. But the BET Awards, I remember, did have its moments. Some legendary performances. I remember once, if I'm not mistaken, Michael Jackson and James Brown sharing the stage at one point. And we saw, I remember Jay-Z premiered his song Izzo on BET at the BET Awards. I don't even think the song was out at the time. It was coming out on the Blueprint album. And I think he performed it on, I remember him performing it on that show. None of us had ever heard. We heard the Michael Jackson sample, the Jackson 5 sample. And, but yeah, it was always must see TV, and people were always talking about it. I remember the early days of Twitter. We would be on Twitter. We would be constantly tweeting through the program. But again, it's just not what it used to be. From what I understand, this past BET award show was pretty good. People seem to be pleased. The tribute seemed to be pretty good from what I understand. I had no reason to go back and listen to it. I do remember my wife had it on. She had the program on, and I got into bed. And I got into bed at that particular night. It was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the award show came on at 8, right? So I was doing something else. I think I may have been doing a podcast or something. And I just remember going to bed around midnight, and I get into bed and like, there's a tribute to Kirk Franklin, I think, that I heard, but I'm like falling in and out of sleep. And I look over, and I remember I looked at my cell phone, and it was 12:30, and the BET Awards were still on. And I did a Google search the next morning, like how long was that show on? And Google said that the BET Awards was on for 5 hours. Listen, there's no reason for any programming to be on 5 hours. People complain about the Grammys being too long. You cannot have a legitimate award show on that long. People always sit and watch the BET Awards and complain about who's being nominated for whatever categories, and people aren't in categories that they should be in categories with. The thing that I'll say about that is the way that you combat that is stop watching, because BET clearly to me did not, even back 10, 15 years when I was watching, we had the same complaints, but they would much rather you be on in front of a TV on social media talking about it as opposed to not watching it at all. And so I just kind of smartened up, and I was like, I'm not tuning into this. Why would I tune into this and be upset about what I watched? I've just wasted 3 hours of my time. I don't wish BET any harm or anything. In fact, I don't even call it BET. I call it EBT. But I don't wish them any harm. I cannot tune in. The programming, I know that there's probably still a lot of infomercials being run. I know Tyler Perry has gotten involved, and he has some of his shows on BET. I think there's BET Plus or something like that, where it's a streaming service where you can get some of the black shows, some of the shows that we grew up watching on there. But for me, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's not worth my time. I understand that Rap City's never coming back. I understand that Video Soul, at least the iteration of Video Soul that I grew up on, isn't coming back. And you can bring Donnie Simpson, but I would love to see Donnie Simpson do Video Soul again. And I know at one point in time they were talking about doing it. And who knows? They may have done it. I don't know. But I'm not tuning in. It's just, you can't, once you let that magic out of the bottle, it's in the atmosphere and you can't ever reclaim it again. Like I said, I don't wish them any bad or anything like that, but I can't imagine sitting through a 5-hour program. I called my homegirl the next day, or maybe a couple of days later, and she said that she watched it, but she fell asleep. And then when I hit the group chat, a couple of guys, they said that they watched it, but they fell asleep too. And I mean, like, bro, if you've got a TV show on, if you got a TV show on for 5 hours, that's ridiculous. Again, I'm a huge NFL fan. I'm not watching the NFL. I could watch an NFL game, and I will watch an NFL game for more than 5 hours, or games, because an NFL game takes about 3 hours. But once the game goes into like midnight, I mean, even if it's a Monday night football game, I'm checking out. Like, I got to get up and go to work in the morning. So I don't know. It's just not, it used to be dope. It's not dope anymore. And then from the BET Awards spawned the BET Hip Hop Awards. The Hip Hop Awards have been hit or miss, I'll be honest. I remember watching the BET Hip Hop Awards, and they were good some years, but the thing that became popular and the reason why people were tuning in was the BET Cypher. And that was where you would have DJ Premier in a pre-recorded set in a room with like 4 or 5 MCs. They would put the MC's name on the screen and they would bust a freestyle. That was dope. That was really cool. But the flip side of that is that, you know, that was usually the highlight of a lot of BET Awards. And then it got to the point where the BET Awards would be, this is when you know things were bad. The BET Hip Hop Awards were being tape delayed. And I only know this because, one, I follow hip hop, obviously, but I live in Atlanta. And for several years, they would shoot it in Atlanta. They'd shoot it at the Atlanta Civic Center. And so imagine coming to the BET Hip Hop Awards on June 1st, only for, and you sit through an entire show, and only for it to be aired June 17th. Come on, man. What are we doing? That, to me, tells me that you're not legit, because there's no way that the Grammys are being taped and then shown 2 weeks later. There's no way that the Country Music Awards are being taped and then shown 2 weeks later. There's no way that that happens at the American Music Awards, the Billboard Awards. There's no other spectrum, no other entity where that happens, only at EBT. And it just speaks volumes to what it is that they have going on. And like I said, if you record it on June 1st, well, guess what? People that attend, they can tell. And what was happening was people were saying, like, okay, hey, Kendrick won Album of the Year. Lil Wayne won Best Song of the Year. This person, Biggie, won Lyricist of the Year. I'm just using that as an example. And so really, by the time those lists got out of who won, unless you wanted to see the performances, you really had no reason to tune in, because it was no longer dope anymore. It was just blah. And unfortunately, to me, it's been blah for a while. I don't know what it would take for me to actually sit and watch the BET Awards again. Honestly, I don't know what it would take for me to sit and watch BET again. Every now and then, I may be thumbing through the channels and I may see some episodes of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is one of my favorite shows. And I'll stop and watch that. But with streaming nowadays, I really don't even have to do that because I can just pull that up on Max. So why should I tune into BET? To me, it's no longer dope. I'm hopeful that it will continue to be something and be in existence. But all of the power makers and the move makers, Bob Johnson obviously sold it. Stephen Hill, who was a big name there, left many years ago. Deborah Lee, I don't know if she's still involved. All of the major players from the 80s and 90s are gone. And so you're just left with a bunch of history and a time where you were dope. And the one thing about being dope is it's hard to stay dope for a long time. But when you were as dope as they were, for people like me, it's hard to accept something being less than. And to me, BET in its current form is less than what it used to be. And quite frankly, that's just not enough for me to sit down and watch. But I have the memories. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop weekly episodes every Monday and every Friday. If you're on YouTube, thank you for watching. We have a YouTube channel. Check us out there as well. And don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes on the 12 Kyle Podcast every Thursday and every Sunday. You can find the 12 Kyle Podcast wherever you're listening or watching this episode right here. You can catch us on social media, 12 Kyle, Rap Soul Podcast across the board. We also have merch. We have merch for the 12 Kyle Podcast. Just hit the merch button in the description box on any links for the 12 Kyle Podcast. And there you can find 12 Kyle Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, as well as coffee mugs. We got it for the low. Also, if you want to donate financially to this show, send us a couple of dollars via Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.